What is up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. Now, before we go ahead and get started, I want to go ahead and tell you guys about Disrupt Week. Now, Disrupt Week is an amazing, amazing event. It's a week-long, yes, you heard me right, a week-long networking entrepreneurship-based event in San Juan, Puerto Rico. My God, you want to go network with somebody? Go network in paradise. Network in San Juan, Puerto Rico. From October 19th to October 26th, Disrupt and Build Your Empire are hosting this event, Disrupt Week, to help bring 50-plus speakers and 500-plus attendees together to network and make the world a better place. Now, if you want to come to this event and listen from speakers like Anthony Delgado, Chris Delgado, Casey Adams, John Malott, Alex Quinn, Sam Bakhtiar, Stephen Campolo, the list goes on and on and on and on. If you want to hear from people like this, go ahead and hit me up in my DMs on Instagram at @Chase_Henderfit. Let's go to Puerto Rico, baby. Let's make it happen. Now, that's it for that. Let's continue on with the show.
Welcome to the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show, where we speak with elite individuals and top performers and sing what it takes to stay healthy and get wealthy. Are you ready to be elite? Are you ready to be part of the 1%? Well, then without further ado, let's get it.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. Today, we have another amazing elite entrepreneur on the show. His name is Nathan Hirsch. He is an entrepreneur and expert in remote hiring and e-commerce. He is the co-founder and CEO of FreeUp.com, a marketplace that connects businesses with pre-vetted freelancers in e-commerce, digital marketing, and much more. He has sold over $30 million online and regularly appears on leading business podcasts around the world. Again, Mr. Nathan Hirsch. How you doing, Mr. Hirsch?
Chase, I am great. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm so glad that we were able to connect on IG and then eventually get here onto the podcast to be able to share your story and provide value to the audience, because I know you've got a lot of great information, especially with the company that you have. So for those of you who do not really know who you are, Mr. Hirsch, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and what really led you to go down the path that you're going down today?
Yeah, so I have a funny story. I mean, I was a kid that had two parents as teachers. So growing up, I always thought I would go into the real world, get a real job, work for 30 years, retire, and that was going to be my life. And growing up, when I was 15, 16, my parents always made me have these summer jobs. I was working 40, 50 hours a week while all my friends were outside playing and enjoying the summer. And I learned a ton about sales, about marketing, about managing people and customer service. But I also learned how much I just hated working for other people, right? I was watching the clock every day. I couldn't wait to get out of there. And when I got to college, I kind of looked at it as a ticking clock. I had 4 years to start my own business, or I was going to go into the real world and never get out. So I started hustling. I started buying and selling people's textbooks. I used that summer money to compete against my school bookstore. And I started a referral program. Before I knew it, there were lines out the door. And I actually got a cease and desist letter from my college telling me to knock it off because I was stealing too much of the bookstore business.
That is wild.
Yeah. So my parents were both teachers, right? So me getting kicked out of college wasn't a real option. So I pivoted a little, and this was 2008, 2009. Amazon was just bursting onto the scenes. No one really knew what that is. I'd sold some books there, and I thought it was pretty cool that I could have this 24/7 storefront, and they handled sales. I would handle customer service, and I just had to figure out what to sell. So I started experimenting with outdoor products, sporting equipment, video games, pretty standard college guy stuff, right? Nice. And I just failed over and over and over. And it wasn't until I branched out of my comfort zone and found the baby product industry that my business took off. So if you can imagine me as a 20-year-old single college guy selling baby products on Amazon, that was me. And this business exploded. I mean, Amazon was the wild, wild west. And my parents said I should probably pay taxes, right? Because I was making money for the first time. So I meet with an accountant, and the first question he asked me is, when are you going to hire your first person? And I kind of shrugged him off. Like, why would I do that? That's money out of my pocket. They're going to steal my ideas. They're going to hurt my business. Pretty standard entrepreneurial excuses, right?
Right.
And he just laughed in my face. He said, you're going to learn this lesson on your own. Well, sure enough, my first busy season comes around, the fourth quarter. Everyone's buying toys. Everyone's buying baby stuff. And I just get destroyed. I'm working 20 hours a day. My social life plummets. My grades go down. I'm struggling to survive. And I work my butt off for 8 weeks doing every little thing in the business to keep it alive to January. And when I get to the other side, I think to myself, man, I can never let that happen again. I need to start hiring people. So that's how I kind of got into the hiring. I quickly learned that college kids, not very reliable. No one really wanted to work for me when I was 20, 21. So that's how I got into the remote hiring world, the Upworks, the Fivers, and I made some pretty good hires, but I also just hated the process of posting a job and getting 100 applicants, interviewing them one by one. And I always just wanted a better, faster way. And that's why 3 years ago, I created my own marketplace, FreeUp, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But that's kind of my story, how I went from a broke college kid to starting an Amazon business to eventually pivoting and starting my own marketplace.
That is wild. I love this story because it proves that you can literally make money doing anything. And you sold baby. What led you to start with baby? Like start selling baby products. That's amazing that you made so much money doing that. But that's wild. That's something that, you know, the average 21-year-old college kid definitely wouldn't think of.
Right. And I wish I had some story that I did all this like market research and this big business plan behind it, but really it was trial and error. I just started trying listing stuff on Amazon and I couldn't get anything to sell. The stuff that I could get to sell, I wasn't making a high enough margin on to actually scale and expand it. And I just kept going and going. And eventually I came across this deal on baby products. And when I listed them, they sold and I listed more and they sold. And I was like, all right, I think I'm onto something. And I grew from there.
That's perfect. Wow. So when it comes to Amazon, like, did you hold inventory or was it kind of like that drop shipping model where, you know, you order it from overseas or somewhere else and then it's kind of like the middleman, or how did that work?
Yeah. So it was drop shipping. I mean, I looked at my situation. I was in college. I had a dorm room. I didn't have a warehouse to store products. I had a few thousand dollars in my bank account. I couldn't buy all this inventory. And I honestly started the idea of drop shipping before it was even called drop shipping. The concept that I could list a product on Amazon that I didn't have, I could build relationships with a supplier. I only worked with US suppliers and they didn't really know what Amazon was at the time either. So at the time I would go to them and say, hey, I've got a new sales channel for you. I know Amazon, I'll be able to drive you sales. All you do is ship the product to where I tell you to ship it. You can keep my credit card on file. Every time you ship it, charge my credit card. And I built a bunch of relationships, over 100 manufacturer relationships that way. And that's really how I got my business off the ground.
Wow. 100 business manufacturers. That's wild. That's a lot of persistence in finding like the right products and being able to build those relationships.
Yeah. And you got to remember too, there was no Amazon software back then. Like now a lot of our partners on FreeUp, we work with Helium 10 and Seller Labs, and there's a bunch more out there. Back then it didn't exist. I mean, it was a lot of manual work. It was a lot of let's get a catalog from manufacturer. Let's throw all those products on Amazon. Let's see what sells and what doesn't sell. And there was no real way to do research. No one understood Amazon's algorithm. There weren't courses. There weren't gurus. It was let's figure out what Amazon's becoming as they grow on their own.
That's wild. So how did that work in the beginning stages? Because I know Amazon's completely changed in the past couple of years. I honestly can't remember Amazon in 2008, 2009. So what was that process like? You know, you would just list it on there. I mean, was there any, what was that like?
Yeah. I mean, I even got on before bulk uploads were a thing. So people like now all of our sellers, you fill out an Excel sheet, you upload it on Amazon and your products go live. Back then it was, you click a button, it'll ask you some questions. You type in the answer to each question and you click submit and it goes live in 15 minutes. And that was how we listed all of our products. I eventually hired a team of VAs to do that. So I didn't have to, but I remember getting the weirdest looks. I was in some class. I had a girl behind me and here I am just listing baby products on Amazon one by one for like an hour in class. Teacher's not paying attention to me. Everyone behind me thinks I'm crazy. And there I am just making sale after sale after sale.
Literally, they know you're making bank. That's wild. So actually that brings up something really important that I've seen with a lot of college age people who are trying to get into entrepreneurship and business. You know, a lot of people are looking at you like you're crazy, but you still went and did it anyways. You didn't really care. I mean, how did you go about that dynamic of overcoming what other people thought and just, you know, hey, I'm making money, I'm doing my thing?
Yeah, I mean, I can give generic advice, like block out the noise. I quickly just removed anyone that had any sense of negativity. Even today, I'm pretty active on social media. The second anything goes negative, it's a delete and a block and we're moving on. I mean, that's just kind of how you have to go about it. I just don't have time to deal with that nonsense. But my mentality is there's no better time to experiment and try new things than when you're in college, when you're young. I mean, when you have a family and a mortgage and kids that depend on you, that is not the time to take a lot of risks. I mean, maybe for some people, but not for me. And some people say, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. You must be open to like taking a lot of risks. I'm pretty risk adverse. I mean, I take strategic risks and not everything works, but I'm not dumping hundreds of thousands of dollars into things. I'm putting a little bit of money, a little bit of time into lots of different things. I'm reading the market. I'm seeing what's working, what doesn't working, what I like doing. And then I'm going down whatever seems to work. And that's, there's no better time to do that than when you're young and in college. So try a bunch of different businesses. Start 10 different businesses with $500 and see what works. See what actually makes money. Talk to your customers. Talk to your market. And worst case scenario, you get that college degree that I never used and you have that in the back pocket. And best case scenario, you're onto something and you go down a path that only you can really understand.
Right. And that's so powerful. It's just the power of trial and error, especially at this kind of age, you know, my age, I'm 22. So it's a matter of you just got to try things. But so many people are so scared to try because they don't want to fail. But that's part of the process. And you highlighted that earlier, is that you failed so many times. But that didn't stop you. You still made things happy. You still kept trying new things. Then you found baby powder. You made money with baby powder. And then, you know, time goes on. And now you realize the power of VAs, which is something that I think is so underrated. I have a VA for, you know, editing my shows and for publishing. It's like, it makes life so easy. So, I mean, like, what was that experience like with you? What was that first experience like getting your first VA?
Yeah, it almost comes down to my first hiring experience. So I needed someone to work after that busy season and I didn't know anything about hiring. So I posted a job on Facebook and this guy in my business law class reaches out to me, says, hey, I need a job. I don't know what you do. I said, you're hired. I didn't even interview. And he ends up being this amazing hire. He was hardworking. He was smart. He's my business partner today on FreeUp. We've been working together for 8 years. So I get extremely lucky. I hit jackpot right from the beginning. And there I am as this punk 21-year-old thinking, man, this hiring thing is easy. You post a job on Facebook, someone shows up, you make more money, your life becomes easier. And I just proceed to make bad hire after bad hire after bad hire. And I remember getting so frustrated hiring people in person that a buddy of mine told me about this whole VA thing. And he recommended a VA that he was only using 10 hours a week. And it was my first time really talking to someone in the Philippines. So I got her started and she recommended a friend named Chicky Ann. Well, Chicky Ann stayed with me as I continued to make bad hiring mistake, hiring people from the Philippines. I had people quit, personal issues, no power, whatever it was. And it took me really sitting down with her and being like, all right, what am I doing wrong here? Like, what do I need to know about people in the Philippines and working with VAs that I just don't know? And she really told me everything. I mean, some of the ways I would talk to people or even write out emails were harsh and aggressive compared to their culture. The whole communication and setting expectations right from the beginning, making sure you're 100% on the same page with what the schedule is, what the responsibilities are, instead of assuming a lot of the things that you would dealing with someone in the US. And Cheeks and I have been working together forever. She now runs my freelancer success team, which is the team that decides what applicants get onto our platform. So it all kind of goes full circle there. But I mean, the best thing is if you've never hired a VA before, my number one question that I would ask is, hey, tell me about how you work with your other clients. How do they have success? How do they communicate with you? And from that, you're going to learn a lot.
That's perfect. I was just about to ask, like, how do you go about that process of, because you pointed out something that was I didn't even think of, is that you're working with people from different countries and different countries have different cultures, different ways of communication, and it completely changes the game when it comes to business. But, you know, the question that you just put out there, you know, what has the interaction been like with your past clients? That's perfect. I think that's a perfect question. Everybody who's listening to this episode, write that down 10,000 times because that is perfect. So, I mean, that's wild. So when it comes to hiring a VA, when's the right time to get one?
So I think a lot of people are focused on getting that exact right time to hire, right? They're trying to plan it out perfectly and you're never going to get that exact spot right. You're either going to hire too early or too late and you just need to accept one or the other. If you're someone that's like, hey, I can't afford it. And we're all in a different place and a different position in life. And you're like, hey, I can't afford it. I need to do this myself as much as possible. I have bills to pay, whatever it is. Then you have to accept that you're going to lose out on some kind of opportunity cost depending on when you hire. And if you're someone like me that kind of values my time at the highest possible level, I tend to hire people early. I just hired 3 new customer service reps. We're probably going to be overstaffed for a little bit, but we're heading into busy season. And the last thing I want to do is head into busy season where I have 3 VAs that are pregnant right now. So who knows what's going to happen there? Who knows if someone gets sick or quits on me? And the last thing I want to be short-staffed in the middle of the craziest time, also the holidays and all that. So there's a certain element of thinking ahead. But if you're always focused on getting that exact time right, you're going to struggle to hire. I also recommend just looking at your budget, saying, hey, I made X amount of money last month. How aggressive or how conservative do I want to be? If I want to be super aggressive, maybe I'm investing 40, 60% of my profits back into my business, into hiring. If I'm more conservative, maybe it's 10 to 30%. But figure out what that percentage is, get a starting point, and you can always go up or go down each month over time.
Right. That's perfect. So when it comes to, the budgeting is key. But another thing to really take into account that I've seen, even within my experience, is finding what to take off your plate first. When, it's a matter of figuring out when to get a VA, but what to get a VA for.
Right. And there's three types of people you can hire. And a lot of people think VA, they think of the follower, the person $5 to $10 an hour. They're there to follow your systems, your processes. If you don't have systems and processes, you're really going to struggle to hire those followers. Then there's the specialists, the graphic designers, the video editors. You're not teaching a graphic designer how to be a graphic designer, but they're not consulting with you either. They're doers. They do the same 8 to 10 hours of work every day. And then you got the experts, the high-level freelancers, consultants, agencies. They can build out a strategy. They can execute a high-level game plan. And a lot of times people fall into the trap of hiring the wrong level, but what you really have to do is create 2 lists. The first list is everything you do on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis. And you should prioritize that list from easiest to hardest. You should write down how many hours a week you're spending on each task. And you should also put down the hour value of each task. Is this a $2 an hour task? Is this a $20 an hour task? And understand what your dollar value is too, because if you're a new entrepreneur, your hour is not worth very much. You might be worth less than $5 an hour. And if you're a 3-year entrepreneur, maybe your hourly rate is $1,000 an hour. But you should put that in perspective to what tasks you're doing compared to your hourly rate. And that's where you hire the followers. On the flip side, creating a list of your weaknesses is so important. The average entrepreneur wears so many different hats, but their core competency is usually only 1 to 3 things. Figure out what you're the best at and what you're the worst at. And if you can solely turn those weaknesses into strengths by hiring those specialists, hiring those experts, that's what high-level entrepreneurs do. So focus on getting your hours back with the followers and focus on turning weaknesses into strengths with the doers and the experts.
Perfect advice. Couldn't have said it better myself. So when you're going through the process, you start picking up the VAs, specialists, and the agencies who are kind of covering your weaknesses and helping you grow your brand. You start, you're building up that list of employees, I guess you could say, within your company. How do you go about managing so many different VAs doing so many different things?
Yeah. And freelancers, they're really in business for themselves. It's more of, I treat it more like a business to business relationship. And I think you have a lot more benefit that way. It just depends how you're going to structure it. I've got 3 core parts of FreeUp, right? I got my freelancer success team that recruits and interviews. I got my customer service team and I got my billing team. And each team has a team leader and each team leader has 5 to 15 VAs underneath them, just depending on what that is. Obviously, that's extreme. You can start with 1 person and grow from there and assign a team leader after. But you're also going to have freelancers. You're going to have 2 to 3 graphic designers you go to, maybe 2 to 3 video editors, writers, and you can put them all on a Slack channel. And you, whenever a project comes up, you throw it in there and whoever can get to it first does it. And you might have an agency that manages your PPC and you have a weekly meeting with them or a bi-weekly meeting with them. So it's all different depending on how you go about it. And we actually have a Facebook group called Outsourcing Masters where we post best practices for using VAs, freelancers, and agencies. And there's no right or wrong. It's pros and cons and it's fitting what you're trying to do with the people you're trying to hire.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm going to join that Facebook group after this conversation here. That's definitely something I need to be looking into. Everybody listening, you need to be looking into this too. That's absolutely incredible, the amount of knowledge that you have within the VA world. And then you decided to
really bring that up and build that into FreeUp. So where did all, I mean, because I know you've had experience with VAs, now you have FreeUp. Where was the link between the two where you knew this was a business for you?
Yeah, so talking to other Amazon sellers, they had that same issue that I had where it just took too long to find talent. If I needed an Amazon listing done, I needed it done today. I didn't want to wait 2 weeks going through applicants. So I had this Rolodex that I had built up over time as we, I wouldn't say perfected, but we made our hiring process pretty good. And we didn't need all these freelancers full time. So I had this Rolodex of people I could rely on. And FreeUp started with the basic idea of I created a time clock software and people would email me, hey, I need a customer service rep. Hey, I need a graphic designer. And I would introduce them. They do the billing through my platform and people love that. They love that they could quickly get access to someone that we've already vetted. We quickly ran out of freelancers, had to build our recruitment team, invested more into the software and grew from there. And as we grew, we listened to feedback. I mean, we want to know, what do you like about the Upworks and Fivers? What do you not like? And it really came down to four things. The pre-vetting, anyone can go on those platforms and offer services. And we get 2,000 applicants a week. We only let in one out of every 100, the top 1%. The speed, you don't have to browse. You can put in a request and we fill that request quickly. The customer service, I would put our customer service against anyone. It's something I truly believe in, not just for the clients, but for the freelancers too. I mean, they don't work for us. We're there to serve them. We're there to support their businesses. And then that no turnover protection, because there's nothing worse as an entrepreneur than turnover. It kills and stalls businesses. So if someone does quit, we cover replacement costs and get them a new person right away. So those were the four main concepts. And then over time, we've kind of tweaked different things. Like you don't have to communicate through our platform. You can add them to your Slack channel or Skype or whatever you want and different things like that to just make the experience better and better. And we're always looking for feedback and we're always looking to improve.
That is awesome. You're pretty much the VA networking guy.
Not just VAs too. We got the freelancers and the agencies too.
Right. My bad. So how do you go about vetting which ones are the right ones for your clients that are coming on and using the platform to find their VAs, find their freelancers, find those agencies? What's that process like?
And I'm sure you've had this experience too, where you hire someone for skill, right? And they've got 5 years of experience. They've got some great references. Maybe they have some 5-star reviews and 3 months later, it blew up in your face and you're wondering, how is this person that's so talented such a bad fit for my business? And we realize skill is one part of the equation, but there's also attitude and communication as well. So for skill, you don't really need everyone to be a 10 out of 10. People can be a 5 out of 10. People can be a 3 out of 10. What you care about is, are they honest about what they can and cannot do? And are they priced accordingly? And so we put people through skill tests and we let people in that their price actually makes sense for their skill set. Second is attitude. If I hate bookkeeping, I'm sure you hate bookkeeping. If I hire a bookkeeper, they need to love bookkeeping as much as I love being an entrepreneur. Those are the type of people that I want to work with. I want people that can take feedback without taking it personally. People who don't get aggressive the second that something doesn't go their way. I mean, we both know that not every client is rainbows and butterflies. Sometimes you have to be the better person. You have to be the bigger person, the more professional. So we do one-on-one interviews for attitude. And then communication is everything, because it doesn't matter what their skill or what their attitude is. If you can't communicate with them, it's not going to work out. So we have 15 pages of communication best practices that they have to memorize and get tested on before they get on our platform. And once they're on our platform, we hold them to those expectations. If they're taking on projects they can't do at a high level, we're not a place to experiment on our clients. If they show signs of a bad attitude, if they are not communicating, if my team or the client has to chase them, we just block them and remove them from our platform. So that's really what our vetting process is all about.
That's crazy. That's awesome. So what's the vision for FreeUp moving forward? Because I mean, you guys obviously have a very solid foundation. I can just hear the foundation within the passion in your voice and then everything you've laid out for us already. It's very, very solid. Where's the vision from here on out?
Yeah. So, I mean, we were launching a lot of stuff. I mean, we started in the Amazon space. We went to the e-commerce space because that kind of naturally leads out. And then we got into the marketing space in the past year and a half. And we're really focused on e-commerce and marketing. Marketing, the cool thing about it is it kind of trickles into everything else. So we get real estate agents and software companies and all that. But we want to enter different categories. We want to be the go-to freelancing place for software companies, for real estate agents, for whatever different business niches out there. As we grow, We just hit 18,000 build hours in 1 week. We actually missed it by like 10 hours, but we were pretty close. And our goal was to hit 20 over the next year. So we're getting there and hopefully double it from there. So we're excited about our agency program, which we launched this year, having more agencies on the platform, higher level freelancers. I think for the first year and a half, people looked at us at like the $10 an hour VA type place where we really have people from 5 to 100+ per hour. So part of it's changing what we offer. Part of it's going after different categories. Part of it's obviously growing and making people more aware of all the different things that you can get on our platform.
Perfect. I love it. So shifting gears just a little bit, not too much, but a little bit. You also have the Outsourcing and Scaling podcast. What led you to start? I love, because one of the things with podcasting I've learned is that you really need to niche down in order to find your market. You definitely niche down. I love it. The Outsourcing and Scaling is definitely something that's very pivotal and needs to be talked about within the entrepreneurship community. But what led you to start a podcast about it?
So I've been wanting to do a podcast for a while. I've been on probably 200 podcasts as a guest, and I know the power of it. I mean, small things like just networking with different people, like meeting with you and all that, it's great. But I mean, my community hears my hiring practices all the time, right? That's really, I can only speak from what I do. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's right for everything. And I'm kind of the mentality that I can provide you really good people, but if you don't know what to do with them afterwards, it doesn't do you much good. So part of the cool thing that I get to do with this podcast is I get to interview 6, 7, 8-figure entrepreneurs, a lot of which that are way bigger than me, that have different hiring practices, different strategies, and share those with my audience. And I get a lot out of it. They get a lot out of it. And kind of everyone wins. Plus you get to build great connections, affiliates, things that you can also help your community as well. So that was kind of the goal behind it. And I think we're, I don't know, 4 months in, and it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, it's an absolute blast. I've been a couple of months into now. You highlighted something really cool. It's like using the podcast to really connect with these other people and really get other perspectives into seeing, you know, what you do, but also what they're doing different, and seeing if there's a way that you can kind of level up from their experiences as well. Because there's something that my dad always told me growing up was the best experience you can get is somebody else's. So that's super powerful.
Especially when it comes to hiring, because you can make so many mistakes. I've made $100,000 plus of hiring mistakes, right? So when someone else teaches you their mistake and you can just save that entire hassle, that's powerful.
Oh, 100%. I mean, likewise, like you can get somebody who's been in the space for 10 years, you get their 10 years of experience onto you. So now you, quote unquote, have 10 years of experience from their mistakes, from their trials and tribulations. Like you said, like with their $100,000 worth of mistakes, you now have completely bypassed that roadblock. That is so powerful. Absolutely.
That's really what it's all about.
Absolutely. So aside from VAs and outsourcing and delegation, what do you think is the number one thing that every entrepreneur or business owner needs to have, say, or do in order to set themselves up for success?
You got to be putting yourself out there constantly. I get rejected every single day, multiple times all the time. And that has to be a part of what you're doing. I mean, I'm trying to get on podcasts. I'm trying to get clients to use the platform. I'm trying to network. I'm trying to sponsor and get into different events, webinars, whatever it is. And you have to be persistent in a very respectful way. And you have to get out of the mentality of anger. People are busy. People get pitched all the time. People have had bad experiences working with other people. So you got to stay consistent, stay persistent, but have a sense of good customer service, good human traits if you want to get stuff done. A good example of this is Scott Volker, who's big in the Amazon community. I reached out to him for 2 years getting rejected. And now he's a partner of FreeUp. I've been on his podcast 3 times. He's been on my podcast 2 years. I don't even know how many times he said no. And it would have been so easy for me to just been like screw you, or like, oh, how dare you not work with me, like, or some kind of nonsense like that, or for me to just give up. But instead, I didn't harass him. I didn't bother him. I didn't get angry. I waited a period of time and I changed my approach. And I said, hey, like I've been working with a lot of your students. Hey, this is what I offer. This is how we progress. I'd love to work with you. If you have 5 minutes, I'll be flexible around your schedule. I want to value your time at the highest level. And if you do that over time, whatever you're trying to do, whether you're trying to land a client, be on a podcast, speak at a conference, over time, that approach is what's going to get you results. And then when you get that opportunity, you need to take advantage of it. I mean, I remember when I got on Entrepreneur on Fire, this was before John charged like $6,500 to be on his podcast. Right. That was a last minute cancellation. I was about to walk into the gym. My PR person called me. It was like, hey, John has a cancellation. Can you do it? And I just remember sprinting home, like driving in and just be like throwing off my gym clothes and just taking advantage of the opportunity. And sometimes you just have to go for it and give it all out. And if you mess up, you got to just keep doing it again. And if you do that in any business, there's so much opportunity. We just live in an awesome time where you can start a business with a laptop. You can connect with people on LinkedIn, influencers, people that 20 years ago you would never have been able to get a hold of. And if you have the right approach, you don't give up and you keep trying, you can, a lot of awesome things can happen.
That is so true. I mean, that's how I've gotten a couple of my guests on the show. It's just like repetitively reaching out. Hey, you know, going through my spiel of the show and having them on. And then even within just other events and social circles, it's the persistence that wins. What is it? I can't remember the phrase. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. I think that's what it was. I mean, it's just like you have to be persistent. You have to be consistent. And you have to know what you want and then go for it. But a lot of people, this is something I suffer with in the beginning too. So I understand how a lot of people go through this mindset. It's scary to take that first step. It's kind of nerve wracking to go after that one person or that one business for, you know, having that one client to start your journey. How do you get over that mental block of just reaching out and going for it?
So one thing I do, and I think this is how you and I connected, I try to reach out to 3 new people every day and it just to network. I'm not selling them. I'm not pitching them. When I got on the phone with you, my goal wasn't to be on your podcast. Like, we got talking about it and it happened, but just network and try to add value. What can you do to help other people? And even if you can't, maybe down the line you can connect with them with something or send some business their way. And if you're just, if you set a number and you're like, hey, on these social media channels, I'm going to reach out to X amount of people per day with no intention of pitching. And when the time's right and when it's a perfect person and you've built a relationship, sure, go for it. But that mentality of I'm going to consistently network day in and day out, that is a great place to go off the ground.
It's great practice. Just having that goal of just talking to people. Just talk to people. That's it. Because I know I've had jobs in the past where, you know, you had to talk to every single person that you saw. Even though, like, with social media, I try to reach out to somebody every single day. You know, it's over time you get used to it. You stop being afraid of just, oh, like, what are they going to say? Who cares? Like, if they'll respond if they want to respond. People aren't usually very negative. That's one thing that a lot of people are afraid of, like, oh, negative response. People are nice people. Like, that's
right.
People are naturally nice, so it's not going to be a problem. So I love that. So what particular mindset or thoughts, like thought patterns, have you had up to this point that have really brought you to where you are? Like, how have you shaped your mind to really be determined to succeed? Because, I mean, I'm talking to you and, like, seeing you, like, the visual, you're very passionate, you're very headstrong, and it's very obvious that there's a lot of confidence there. You know, how did you build that up?
Yeah, I mean, part of it, the whole, like, fake it till you make it, I mean, I don't know how true that is, but you just got to go for it. I mean, you at some point when you're growing a business, you've got all these people depending on you. It could be people you've hired. It could be manufacturers. It could be people, clients that you've given your word to. So you can either go in with confidence that you're making the right decisions, or who knows what the other alternative is. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to make tough business decisions. You're going to have to decide on things that are going to impact other people. And a lot of times, you're never going to really know whether that decision was right or whether you could have made a better one. So you have to look at your resources, figure out the best possible decision based on the information you have, and then you have to go all in with that decision. Because if you do go forward and you're second-guessing yourself and all that nonsense, that doesn't really help anyone out either. I mean, most of the time, you can't backtrack and change your decision anyway. So for me, you kind of have to accept that. You got to learn from other people. You got to make educated decisions. And that's what being an entrepreneur is all about. And no one has that 100% success rate. It doesn't happen.
Right. Perfect. I love that you said that. I mean, you just have to be willing to make those decisions. Because I know, even with me in the beginning, it's like, oh, well, what if this isn't the right thing to do? Like, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? What ifs don't get you, don't move the needle. Actions move the needle. So I think that's absolutely perfect that you said that.
And I'll encourage people that I work with to do that. Like, my team leaders, when they're debating something and I'll assign them projects, I'm just like, make a decision. It's just decision time. Like, you got to do it one way or the other. Like, based on the information you have, what decision are you going to make? And let's stick with it and let's execute that decision. And it's terrifying for people that have never done it before, but you have to move fast. I mean, think about how fast the marketing industry, the e-commerce, or really life in general is just going boom, 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 boom. If you're getting hung up on every little decision, you're just going to stall out. You got to make decisions and you got to take action.
Right. You're going to suffer that paralysis by analysis. That is so deadly. So Nathan, if you were the one conducting this interview and you were interviewing Nathan Hirsch, what would you ask?
Ooh, good question. Probably what my mindset has kind of changed over the years, I guess, or what I would tell my younger self, something along those lines. I think every entrepreneur kind of goes into it for money, right? I mean, not just money, but money's a big part of it. And I think every entrepreneur kind of that has a little bit of success kind of goes through that honeymoon period. You like make a good amount of money, or like, oh, I'm fulfilled, I'm happy. Like, let's spend a little bit, let's do whatever you want, or spend a lot if you're going to make some bad decisions. But that gets old so fast. I mean, I can't tell you, it's really why I got sick of my Amazon business. I mean, I wasn't passionate about selling baby products then. I'm not passionate about selling baby products now. At the end of the day, I was just pushing products for money. That gets old after 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So at some point, you have to find something that you're actually passionate about, or else it just becomes old. So with FreeUp, I love that we paid out $7 million to freelancers last year. They show me their houses, their cars, how they were able to provide for their family. On the flip side, with clients, I'm helping all these entrepreneurs pursue their dream, pursue their passion, build their business, get their freedom. And for me, that's a lot more passion. I sleep a lot better at night knowing that than I ever did with the baby product business. Even if FreeUp is bigger now, but at the time I was making more money with the baby product business than the first year with FreeUp. So, I mean, that stuff matters. And I think a lot of young entrepreneurs don't realize that.
That's so, so true. I love the fact that you brought that up, where it's like the freelancers and the VAs, they're sending you pictures of their cars and their houses. You know, a lot of these people live in, you know, they don't live in America. They don't live in a place like America. And to see that they are able to thrive like that, I just hearing that warms my heart. That's amazing. That's so cool. So how do you go about finding your passion though? Because that's something you hear all the time. Like, go after your passion. But like, you know, if you're younger, you know, like 18 to 25 or whatever, I don't know what I'm passionate about. I just started. What's going on? How do you go about finding that passion?
And you shouldn't. I did this Facebook Live the other day. I think I did it last week. And then someone from the live set up a call with me, and it wasn't about FreeUp. She just wanted some advice on her son. And her son was 15, 16. He wanted to quit college and become a freelancer. And I told them, I was like, listen, I would never tell someone like, go to college, don't go to college. Like, that's not my place. I'm not a coach. That's not what I do. But at the same time, when you're 15, 16, like, you can make a lot of decisions. You can try different things. I mean, you can take a year off and freelance and then decide, hey, I'm going to go back to college. You can try lots of different things. If you're interested in being an entrepreneur, you can start lots of different businesses. You can spend a week working on different businesses and see what you like, see what you're passionate about. And that doesn't change as you get older either. And if you're not constantly trying new things and meeting new people and trying different ways to make money and grow something scalable that helps not just you, but other people and other things as well, you'll eventually come across it. And you don't have to know what it is. Like, if you had asked me 10 years ago if I'd be selling baby products on Amazon, I wouldn't have believed you. If you had asked me 6 years ago if I'd be running a freelancer marketplace, I wouldn't believe you. So I think we get in this mindset that kids have to figure it out, right? Like, college is crunch time. You got to decide your major and that's going to affect the rest of your life. That is not the case. You should be trying lots of new things when you're younger. And when it happens, it's going to be different for everyone and you're going to figure it out.
Right. I love that. I mean, because I know I've been through that process where, I mean, actually both sides of the coin, where I got to college at 18, because that's what you're supposed to do. And I out the gate, it's like, all right, what do you want to major in? I'm like, I don't know. I kind of like science and exercising. So I guess I'll do exercise science. That's my major that I'm doing now. So I've been doing that. And luckily I did like it a lot, and it developed into a passion within fitness. But, you know, a lot of people don't go through that. You know, they may change their major one or two times, three times, four times. And then, you know, they're in that major and they think that, okay, well, I chose this major. I need to do this forever. No, you don't have to. I've tried e-commerce. I've tried social media marketing. I'm doing podcasting, and then also I have a online fitness coaching business. Like, there's all these different things, and you know, I've been looked at as crazy. I even had a CBD business. Like, it was just, I've been looked at as crazy. It's like, oh, like, you need to figure out like this and that. No, I don't. Like, I'm 22. I've had a fourth of my life. That's it. I've got 3/4 left. Why would I, you know, be dead set on something now that I don't know if I'm passionate about or not, and then do that for like 80 years. You have to keep trying. You have to, you know, trial and error, one thing after the next until you find that one thing that really just sticks. And then, you know, for me, for right now, it's podcasting. And one thing I think to add on to that, you know, just kind of my own personal philosophy on this is that, you know, you could sit here and find things that you're passionate about or you think you're passionate about, interested in, and then have this whole plan of how it's going to happen. But like you said, you know, 6 years ago, if you would have asked, like, oh, you're going to run a VA company, like, you would have said, no, there's no way. Like, you don't know how things are going to happen. You can try to structure as much as you want, but, you know, something might come along. Like with you, the VA thing just kind of happened, and then now it's a huge, you know, it's a huge company for you. And I think that's very important, is that a lot of people, they focus too much on the how of how it's all going to happen. You know, it might happen the way that they want it to, but, you know, things can change on a dime. And that's, I mean, that's one of the things of that makes life exciting, though.
Right. Completely agree. And yeah, the other factor that people don't consider is sometimes you just wake up and you're just bored of what you're doing. Like, that hasn't happened with FreeUp, and I don't think it's going to happen for a while, but that definitely happened with the Amazon business. You might wake up one day and be like, oh my God, the thought of another podcast is just going to drive me crazy. Like, you, that stuff happens. People change over time. You find new interests, you find new things that you're passionate about, and you don't want to go through life like, this is my path. You want to open yourself up to new things and make adjustments when needed.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, hey, Mr. Hirsch, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. This has been an incredible conversation. I had so much fun. If anybody wants to connect with you on any level whatsoever, how can they go do so?
Mr. Hirsch. So my dad was a teacher, so everyone called him Mr. Hirsch. So I haven't heard anyone really call me Mr. Hirsch. So I have the Outsourcing Masters Facebook group. You can go to freeup.com with three E's. My calendar, my team's calendar is right at the top. Sign up, create a free account. It's free to sign up. No monthly fees, no minimums. Mention this podcast, get a $25 credit to try us out. And you can connect with me on Instagram, The Real Nate Hirsch, Twitter, all those places. And thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely, Mr. Hirsch, the teacher, Mr. Hirsch. So yeah, y'all heard it. Go connect with them on social. Go sign up for FreeUp. And until next time, stay healthy, get wealthy. Perfect. I appreciate your time, man. That was absolutely amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. Hopefully it was good content. Let me know if I can help you in any way.
Yeah. Likewise. I mean, that was definitely a lot of great stuff, because I know just within my own personal experience, like, VAs have been monumental for me. So being able to dive deeper into that world was definitely going to help out so many people.
Awesome, man. Well, take it easy. Have a good rest of the week.
All right. You as well. Take care.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. My name is Chase Henderfit. I am your host. And if you have any questions at all, feel free to DM me on Instagram at Chase_Henderfit. And I have one favor to ask. Please just share this episode with one person. You never know who it could help impact. And if you share it on your Instagram story, I'll repost it on mine. So until next time, stay healthy, get wealthy.